Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic was a request by a listener, and the request was based around renewing motivation. So we have done podcasts in the past about motivation, and actually specifically about renewing motivation. However, it's been about 100 days since that podcast, and I thought it might be fun to share kind of the same topic, but maybe in a different way. So the past podcast we did, number 152, okay, so podcast 152, it was with Nate Quistel, who is a member of the gym who joins me on some of these podcasts. And Nate and I went with a, kind of like a deeper dive, like a, kind of like a 40-ish minute podcast on the concept of like how you can renew motivation. We talked a little bit about ourselves, but we talked a lot about methods in which that you guys can use. So it was focused on pretty much like stuff for you, like general lesson applications. And then we also had podcast number 185 that Nate and I did together. And it was looking at inspiration versus motivation. And kind of the difference that like inspiration and motivation, they have a little bit of differences in the sense of one comes from within, one comes from outside. So whether you're internally motivated or externally motivated. So that can be helpful to look at. So if you want to listen to that podcast, it's very helpful. And knowing that, in general, you need to have a little bit of both. So it's okay to have external motivators. Sometimes people like kind of frown upon or say negative things about being motivated by external things. The downside to it is if external motivators are your only motivators. Okay? So you need to have an internal motivator. And then you can use external things as like refreshers or catch-me-ups or pick-me-ups, that kind of thing when you need them. But it is important to have an internal drive. Now, how do you develop an internal drive if you don't have one? Is you use external motivators just to get you started, get you going. And then over time, you might start to see the positive results of what you're doing and then develop an internal drive. So if you don't have internal motivation, you're not. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. So it's just sometimes you have yet to see the value of what you're trying to create as a new habit. So using external motivators can be a fantastic way to get you started, get you going, and then maybe eventually develop the internal motivation later on. Okay. So don't feel bad if you're not intrinsically like automatically motivated by things. That's okay. That's normal. You're a human being. So you just have to find a way to work within that, though, to make sure you still get done what you need to get done. So those past podcasts, number 152 and 185, they were focused kind of on lessons for you guys. And what I wanted to do on this one was is share kind of my own personal thoughts, my own journey on how I deal with motivation. And part of the reason for doing so was the person specifically asked for my opinion and like what I do. So since we have the past podcasts of what you guys can do, I figured I'd kind of show what I do and how I kind of put those lessons into practice. So the question the person asked in Cinch was, how do you keep renewing your motivation? We know that what drives us now might not work tomorrow. So how do you dig deep inside of yourself and find the ways to will yourself to move forward? So, in general, I think I got very lucky at a young age where I kind of recognized that my life without training in nutrition, so without physical exercise and without some type of attention to healthy eating, I didn't like who I was. I didn't like my life that way. I wasn't proud of myself. I didn't feel good about myself. There was a lot of negativity for me in that. So keep in mind real quick, as I'm going through all this, I'm not judging anybody who doesn't exercise or eat right. Okay, this is just my journey. But at 15 years old, I kind of had that realization that, man, I'm kind of like a fat, weak piece of crap. And I'm mentally weak, I'm physically weak, I don't look good, like I'm not confident in the way I look. Like I had a pudgy little belly that I'd always try to hide underneath my, like when I'd sit down, I'd always try to pull my shorts or pants like up over that belly roll so that way you'd try to like quote unquote hide it. I remember I had kind of like soft chest, like man boobs, and I would always be very self-conscious about wearing anything tight because you could kind of see it and it didn't look good. And I had a really rounded upper back posture. My feet flared out to the sides, like angled outward. And I really just did not like the way I looked. And it took kind of a play fight with a friend. And they had called me fat. And I just thought to myself, I was like, ugh, you know, screw you. You know, like calling me fat. And then I was like, had this realization. I was like, well, shit, I am fat. So it's like, ugh, like I didn't like that. So I realized real quickly that I had no right to be mad at my friend. He just said a fact. So what he said was true. It's like if he said, you have brown hair. I'd be like, okay, yeah, yeah, uh-huh. But if he said something of me that I didn't like, that wasn't his fault. That was my fault for allowing it to be true. So if I didn't like the fact that I was fat, and I didn't like the fact that somebody could call me fat and have it feel like an insult, well, that wasn't his fault for saying it. It was my fault for being it. So I started on my 15th birthday kind of addressing that and taking care of it. So that's, like I said, where I feel like I got lucky because I started young. And what helps me in terms of motivation is like to exercise and eat right. It's kind of funny in the sense to where I don't even think of it as like anything that I need to be motivated for. I don't feel like I don't view it as an option. So whether I work out or not doesn't feel like an option. Whether I eat healthy or not doesn't feel like an option. So I don't feel like it's something that I have to force myself to do. It's just what I do, if that makes sense. So what happened for me, what helped me, was I hated who I was when I didn't exercise and eat right. I hated that person. And it wasn't like, trying to think how to word it in a sense, was I was still a good person. Like, just because I was overweight or I didn't eat right or exercise, I wasn't a bad person in any way. But I didn't have really good energy. I kind of like would shrug off like extra work or shrug off doing fun things because I didn't want to do them because I didn't feel confident in the way I looked, or I just couldn't physically handle doing them because I was so out of shape. I remember like when I needed to be more disciplined for certain things, like outside things, like life things, I just didn't have the discipline that needed to be good at things, to follow through with actions. I just kind of hated that part of me. So I was a good person, but I hated those characteristics of me, the lazy characteristics of myself. And I recognized that when I started eating better, I felt I had better energy. So I also just kind of like had better mood throughout the day. Like I felt better energized to do things. I also just kind of like your digestion was better. Just everything just kind of sort of felt better. And when I exercised, I got to see, oh, you know, here's a cool new muscle there. Or holy cow, I can actually do this weight for like 20 reps. I never thought I'd be able to do that. And I started kind of building self-confidence, and I started building, improving the quality of the way I looked, and immensely in the way I felt. So I started to realize that, okay, through nutrition and training, I'm starting to feel better every day. I'm starting to, like, not only physically feel better, but emotionally feel better, mentally feel better. I started being more playful with my friends and having better relationships because I wasn't trying to hide myself all the time. So I learned that the me that I was when I ate well and exercised was a pretty awesome me. I liked that version of me. And then I would think back, okay, well, what version of me was there when I wasn't eating right or I wasn't exercising? And I remember that version. I'm like, damn, I don't like that version. I don't like that me. I don't ever want to be that me again. I was that me. I was that version of myself for 15 years. Now, granted, I shouldn't judge myself as a baby, but at 15 years old, I realized that so far in my life, up to that point, that the old me didn't make me happy. The old me was all instant gratification and immediate laziness. And all of that instant gratification and that momentary laziness that I got from moment to moment to moment, that just made me feel worse and worse and worse. But then, when I started exercising and eating right, I got to see a whole new version of me. I got to kind of see the me that I could be. And I really liked that me. So I started seeing it as, this is who I'm meant to be. So who I was without eating right and without training, that wasn't who I was meant to be. That was a lazy, crappy version of myself. the version of myself that if I were to live that way, I would just be disappointed my whole life. This new version of me, if I ate well and I exercised, this new version of me had new possibilities. There was unlimited possibilities. It was awesome to see what was happening and what was changing within me. And I started to think of what could I truly be capable of. And I remember I had a phrase I would say to myself. Now, this isn't politically correct, and I'm probably not going to ever advertise this on social media for the business. But I kind of thought at first, whenever I looked at the lazy version of myself, I was like, oh, this is all my genetics are meant to be. This skinny, fat, mentally weak, physically weak person that I don't like every day. That's what my genetics would be, okay, if I didn't put in the work. So my mantra became F genetics. And so the real word, so, you know, fudge genetics. But that became kind of whenever I'd work out at night. So I said before a past podcast, my parents got me a birthday and Christmas gift combined, and it was probably way more expensive than that, was a weight set when I was 16. So my 16th birthday, they got me a weight set and let me take over half the garage. And I trained every single day for, I don't even know, years. And so I'd go to school, go to football or basketball practice, come home, eat some kind of supper, and then go down in the basement and lift for 2 hours. And that's what I would think to myself the whole time I was exercising was F genetics. You know, screw this stupid, lazy, fat piece of crap version of myself. I'm going to become so damn awesome. I'm going to just grow into this new human being. So I remember I would do exercises, and it's, you know, it's true, it's extreme, and I'm not recommending it, but I would do an exercise, like I remember I'd do bicep curls, I'd put weights in my easy curl bar, and I would do curls until I physically couldn't hold on to the bar. So I would do like 20, 30, 40 reps, you'd kind of like rest it half on your legs, then you'd do like another 10, you'd rest it half on your legs, then all of a sudden your arms started going numb, then you'd try to like hang your arms down, but you'd never set the bar down. And I would go and go and go, and somewhere along the lines the bar would just slip out of my hand because I couldn't physically hold it anymore. And the whole time I was doing those reps, I just kept saying, F genetics, F genetics, F genetics. And I just kept going and going and going because I knew that the only way I was going to become unlazy was to punish the lazy version of myself. So when the lazy version of myself wanted to stop the set, I was like, bullshit, you don't get to stop. You don't get to be in charge. So the lazy version of me did not get to be in charge. There was a new person in town, there's a new person in charge, and he says we're going to keep going. So you do more and more and more reps, and all of a sudden, you know, your brain would tell you, man, if you don't let go of this weight, you're going to tear your bicep. So then I'd just say, F my bicep. I don't need my damn bicep. Fine, it'll tear off. Just kept curling and curling and curling. Then all of a sudden the bar would fall out of my hand. So that was my victory, in a sense. So I probably had some kind of mental disorder. And I probably still have one to this day. But I did start to see myself at a very young age as separate beings, in the sense to where there was a lazy me, then there was the me that I really wanted to be, then there was the me that I was. So there was the crappy version of myself, the lazy version of myself, then there was that, like, the perfect version, like, that was super confident, you know, looked really good, you know, could talk to all the girls. So that's what I was thinking at the time. And I was like, man, I want to be that version of me. You know, I want to be the best me. I don't want to be that crappy, lazy me anymore. And I know I'm somewhere in the middle. If I relax, if I let that lazy version win one single rep of a single workout, that's one less rep that I could have been the best version of myself. So at 16 years old, I considered every single rep as something that would take away from the best version of myself by the end of my life. So that's a pretty intense view. But that's how I kept myself quote-unquote motivated, was I didn't even think of it as motivation. It was just I hated who I was. I did not like that version of me. And I kept kind of thinking, what could I be? What could I become? How awesome can I make my life if I just push this one extra rep? Or if I work out tonight versus sitting on the couch watching TV? Or if I eat this chicken breast rather than that pizza? So I just kept seeing every opportunity as an opportunity to become that better version of myself. And I just tried to take every single option I could to get closer and closer to that best version. So that's the game that I played when I was 16, and I still play that to this day. So I'm 35 now, so it's been 19 years of every day, every decision, either takes me away from the best version of myself, or it lets me step one step closer. That's the goal. So, now, that can be ridiculously intense, and the few people who have heard that story think I'm absolutely insane, and that it would be hard to live that way. And there have been challenges. However, screw those challenges. Screw making it easy on myself. So when I did things that were easy on myself, I became that fat, lazy human being I didn't like. So I don't want to go back there, so therefore I'm not making shit easy for myself. I'm going to continue to try to find ways to push myself, to challenge myself, to never, ever, 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 ever accept that lazy version of myself again. Okay? So, let's think of some examples of this. So over the years, from me being just a psychopath and not always paying attention to staying hydrated, I had 17 muscle tears over the years. I've torn 7 ligaments, I've broken some bones, and had some surgeries over the years. And through all of that, I've said in the past podcast that since I was 15 years old, I've never missed more than 7 consecutive days of exercising. So for the last 20 years, I've never missed more than a week, and I've only ever missed 2 weeks. So that was it. So like 2 individual weeks. So one of them was due to a physical illness related to over-exercising, where I was throwing up every time I was trying to do anything. So I decided to take a week off. And the other time was due to emotional stress. And I just had really, really, really had a rough time at that moment in my life, and just really had a hard time finding meaning to anything. And that included working out. So I would go to the gym and try to do something, and I'm like, why the hell am I even here? What am I doing this for? And so I had to deal with those mental demons and figure that stuff out. And thankfully, I was able to figure it out within a week to get me back into lifting. It took a hell of a lot longer than a week to get back to quote-unquote normal life. But those have been the 2 times that I've been out of the gym the most, were those 2 times. And think of some examples was, like I remember once I had surgery on my collarbone. I had metal inserts put in place instead of my collarbone because I broke my collarbone 3 times. And I actually broke it the 3rd time while bench pressing. So I had to go in and get metal plates put in. I got infected, and they had to cut back in through everything, actually cut through both sides of my chest and drain a bunch of fluid out. And I was in a full upper body kind of like chest wrap and then a sling, and it was kind of like I was pretty shut down for a little while. However, I realized, okay, my arm doesn't work, but that doesn't mean my legs can't work. So then I tried to figure out what the hell could I do. So the very next day after surgery, I was in the gym, and I found the only machine that I could actually use was a seated leg extension, because all the other gyms, this is back when I used to teach at the university, so I was in the university gym, and all the other machines I would have had to have held on to myself or positioned myself in a certain way to where the collarbone and the surgical stuff was all like super duper pissed off and really hurting. So I found I could sit in the leg extension machine, and if I made the weight light enough, I could do that machine without getting like any strain in my collarbone. Well, the problem was it was so light that it didn't feel very useful, so I decided to do 1,000 reps. So that was my goal. I was going to do 1,000 leg extensions, and then I was going to walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes. So I did that every single day. That became my workout. And I also took on the goal of a weight loss goal, because I figured, okay, well, if I'm not going to be able to be as active, I might as well eat less food. And this turned out to be not the best idea, by the way. When you're healing from a surgery, you still want to maintain a pretty decent amount of calories, and especially protein. So, yeah, that was a shit decision on my part. But I went on a diet and actually lost 50 pounds. So I lost 50 pounds, I think it was like 10 weeks. It was a pretty extreme diet. But that was my goal, is I did 1,000 leg extensions and 30 minutes of treadmill every single day. I lost 50 pounds in 10 weeks. And actually, after only 5 weeks of after the surgery, I started back into weight training with my upper body. So I was told to wait for 3 to 6 months. Bullshit, I ain't waiting that long. So I felt like I was good enough. So I started lifting weights and being really easy into it. So I wasn't loading myself in a stretched position for the chest or the shoulder. But I got back to doing, I remember my first workout was using 20 pound or less dumbbells. And I did a bunch of variations of bicep curls. And that was about all I could really manage because I couldn't move my upper arm very far. But I could move my forearm. So I was doing bicep curls. And I remember for 3 days, my biceps were actually so damn sore that I looked like a T-Rex because I couldn't extend my arms. So I had to go back to that damn 1,000 leg extensions and treadmill workout after that bicep day, which is depressing. But it was a way to get back into it. So if somebody hears that story and they're like, that's completely ridiculous. Like, you had surgery and the very next day you're back into the gym, you know, doing leg extensions and walking on a treadmill. Like, how the hell, like, how did you stay motivated to do that? It wasn't motivation. I just knew that the fat and lazy version of myself was going to take that as an opportunity to reclaim some ground on me mentally. And screw that. So I fucked that dude off. He ain't coming back. So I knew if I decided that it was an option to take time off, that of course I would take the time off. It always feels easy to be lazy, right? It's easy and it feels good to be lazy in that moment. But then you just accumulate more depression, more sadness, more self-hatred, and in the long run, it's a stupid, stupid choice to be lazy. It feels really good in the moment, but it's absolutely stupid and detrimental to your life in the long term to be lazy. So I didn't want that person back. That lazy version of myself was not going to win. This was not an opportunity for him. So I figured out, what can I do? What can I do to push myself to become better? So that's something I always ask myself in any moment, whether it's a gym stress or a life stress, is you never ever think of what's being taken away from you. You always ask, what can I do? What is still within my control? What can I still have available to me? And then can I do that infinitely as much as possible? So in that circumstance, I found out an option. I didn't say, okay, well, you know, I'm injured. I guess I just won't lift weights. Bullshit. Like my arm was hurt, but there were still other functioning parts of me. I could have done grip work with my other hand for all I cared. It would have been something. So I found that leg extension machine, and then I made sure it was damn miserable by doing 1,000 reps. So that way it wasn't like, oh, okay, I did, you know, a set of 10, whoop-de-doo for me, and give myself some kind of bullshit congratulations when I didn't really do anything. So it had to be something challenging and difficult and something that would test my current mental limits so that way I could continue to move forward in my mental limits. So just applauding yourself for bullshit mediocre effort leaves you mediocre. So don't want that. So I got to push, find some way to make it challenging and miserable, because it's only through it being miserable that I will grow and adapt and become a better version of myself. So laziness lets me go backwards. If I just find a general discomfort, that stands me still. I don't move forward. It has to be something freaking miserable that you didn't really want to do. And when you're done with it, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I actually did that. That is going to be moving you forward. So if you just do the same uncomfortable comfortable, where you're like the same intensity you always do in your workouts, or, oh, you know, ho-hum, I did this the last 3 months, I guess I'll do it for the next 3 months. Bullshit. You're going to sit the same. You're not going to change. Nothing's going to move forward. You're going to feel like you're putting in effort, which is horse shit. You're putting in the minimal effort, which means you're going to get minimal results. And then you feel jaded in the process. You kind of shut down and woe is me. Exercise doesn't work for me. Nutrition doesn't work for me. Bullshit. It does the same thing to every human being. You're just not trying hard enough. So that was the stuff that I would talk to myself about. Is I knew if I was going to do leg extensions, that it had to be something meaningful enough to make a difference. And when I said to myself, I remember sitting there and I think the weight was so light that I did like maybe like 50 reps. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to do like 1,000 reps to make this work. And then immediately I could feel myself going, geez, 1,000 reps might be a little bit too much. And that's that lazy ass version of myself. So as soon as I got that negative reaction to 1,000, I was like, fine, if that's the way you think, we're doing 1,000 now. So that's what I did. So if I had a negative reaction to it, then I knew that that means my current lazy self was arguing. So screw that lazy self. We're doing the damn 1,000 reps now. So I've done that a couple times on leg press before. I remember I set a goal to do 1,000 reps on a leg press, and it took me an hour and a half because I picked way too heavy of a weight. It was an hour and a half of my workout. I did a set, like a couple sets of like, I think 20 or so, while I trained somebody else for a whole hour. And then it took me an extra 20 minutes on top of that to finish. So to get that weight that I had chosen for 1,000 reps. So it took, I don't even know, 2.5 or 3 hours to get 1,000 reps in. But that was the goal. Because I remember when I put that weight on, and I was like, man, you haven't tested yourself in a while. You should do something crazy. And I was like, man, maybe I can do this like for 500 reps. And then I remember, like, I thought that, and I was like, yeah, I could probably do that. Well, that means that lazy version of myself didn't care. It's like, it wasn't fighting it. So as soon as I was like, yeah, you could probably do that, I was like, well, what are you agreeing for? If you're agreeing, that means you know you can already do it. Let's do something you don't think you can do. I wonder if you can do 1,000. And then all of a sudden you get that immediate thought going, I don't know, 1,000 is kind of crazy. Well, then there's your answer. So once my lazy self fights it and says, oh, I wouldn't do that, that becomes now the goal. So like I said, I'm clearly insane, but it has helped me push myself so over the years. So I remember, like, when I graduated high school, it was after 2 years of lifting weights, 3 years of exercising. I was a skinny, fat, 165 pounds. I'm now leaner at a lower body fat percentage, but I weigh 280-some pounds, so I've gained over 100 pounds of body weight. I remember my three-lift total in powerlifting, like my one-rep max of squat, bench, and deadlift, would have been about 850. I have since doubled that. I've since put up 1,700-pound three-lift total. So I've doubled my strength since I was 18. I've put over 100 pounds of lean mass onto my body since I was 18. The only way to be able to do that is playing these stupid, insane games and doing it every damn day. So you show up every day. So that's been my goal. So there's other examples and stuff, but this is already getting long enough. But that would be my advice, is if you're struggling with motivation, is thinking, okay, who am I when I don't do the right things in life? So how does my day go when I sleep through breakfast? I'm in a rush, I'm more stressed, I don't act as nice towards my family and my friends and my coworkers. I kind of have this like looming doom on me all day because I feel like I'm running behind. And it's just a negative context to your day. So if you feel that every time you get up late, stop getting up late. Why would you want to live in the misery of that shit when you could just get up 15 minutes early and have a good day? That's the decisions you got to make, okay? Is we know that the lazy choices let us live a lazy life. It's momentarily okay, but you just get more and more anger, more and more frustration, more and more problems, more and more depression, more and more self-hate as you live in lazy ways. You become a version of yourself you're not proud of, a version of yourself that you didn't want to be, a version of yourself that's kind of sad. That, like, when you think, oh, I could be this, but I guess I'm stuck as this. You're not stuck as shit. It's the decisions you're making. So you got to make better choices. You have to discipline yourself to make the tougher choices. Okay? Now, how do I do that for myself? Is I, first of all, blame myself for everything. Everything that goes wrong in my life is my fault. And the reason why it is that way is because if it's my fault, then I can do something about it. If it's someone else's fault, it's up to them to change it. I'm not letting anybody else in charge of my life. I'm in charge of my life. So everything is my fault. So therefore, I can do something to control it and change it. So what I always do is ask, what can I do? And then you just analyze the shit out of it. You read books, read articles, talk to friends, talk to anybody you can that's maybe been in a similar situation. You gather as much information as possible, and you start making decisions, and you start moving. You start making actions. So everything in my life is my fault. So therefore, I can control everything. Now, here's the thing, is you can't control the people around you. You can't control whether some other driver T-bones your car today, and now you have to deal with a banged up car. You can't control life, okay? What happens around you and to you, but you can 100% control what happens within you, okay? Your thoughts, your actions, your decisions, those are all in your control. So, I always ask myself, is what is something I can do to influence this? So, do I have to think about it a different way? Do I have to approach conversations with people in a different way? What do I have to do to control things better? So, one quick example is I've read 2 books. I do audiobooks. I hate reading. My mind kind of drifts off when I try to physically read stuff. So, I like audiobooks. So I did an audiobook of Essentialism and The One Thing. And what I learned from those books that I put into application in my business recently has been to block off time. And when I define a time, say 3 hours of time, I'm defining it for exactly what I want it to be used for. There we go. So I'm defining that time for exactly what I want it to be used for. And then I don't let anything get in the way of that. So here's a quick example that I'm going to make. If this one person in the example is listening to this, they're going to be frustrated with me. But I blocked off so far at the moment between 9 a.m. and 12, like at noon, is my time to work out every day. Now, I don't do a three-hour workout. It takes me about 30 minutes to kind of get my mind into it and wrap up after my morning client and my morning work. So then at 9 a.m., I kind of have like 30 minutes to kind of settle my mind, get myself ready. I then start my workout between 9:30 and 10. I work out to about 11:30. And then I have 30 minutes to kind of reset myself and get ready for my noon client. So that's 3 hours blocked off. It is for the purpose of my exercise and training. So that way I can take care of my health and I can hit some big goals I have here at the end of this year. Now, yesterday, for example, somebody came into the gym. They're a member. They came through the door. They came and they knocked on my door in the office. But that was during the first 30 minutes and I was getting my mind ready for my workout. So I didn't open the door. So they knocked again. I didn't open the door. They knocked a third time. I didn't open the door. They finally got the hint and then they left. And then I got a text. And the text said that they needed to update their credit card information, their debit card information, for the payment for the gym. And they wanted to do it before they got an extra fee because they were doing it late. Well, they were already late. The fee was already going to be there. And we don't actually even charge the fees. I just give the fees back. So, but they were afraid that they were going to get a fee. Well, it was their fault for showing up late. They were already too late that day anyhow. They were a day too late to make a change anyhow. So it wouldn't have helped either one of us for me to open that door because I couldn't have changed anything at the moment. Then also getting that information from them can be done via email, text, voicemail, whatever the heck you want to do, and it can be done at any other time of the day. So between 9 and 12 was my time to work out, not my time to answer everybody else's demands on my time. So that's something I'm doing. That's within my control. So if I feel overwhelmed in life and life is just bouncing me around, pulling me back and forth, that's because I'm letting it do so. I'm not creating boundaries and deciding what I will and won't do with my time and my energy and my effort. I'm just letting everybody else decide. Well, that's a stupid way to live. You're going to live insane and you're going to feel stressed. You're never going to get what you want done for your life. So you have to create some boundaries for yourself. By the way, there's a really good book titled Boundaries that I've read in the past that helps with that. And it helps with it in more of like a Christian manner too, to where you're not creating boundaries to screw everyone else. You're creating boundaries so you can be the best version of yourself to best help everybody else. So if I let myself go where I didn't even train and I just let people interrupt me whenever they wanted to, I would never get the best quality of my training. Therefore, I won't get the best quality of my results and physique and whatnot. I won't feel the best in my emotional and mental health because, like I told you guys through this whole podcast, is that I use exercise as my mental health. So that's how I fight off the lazy version of myself. That's how I get excited about the new version of myself. I also try all my new ideas for my clients and my workouts. So there's a lot that goes into my workouts that has outside benefits other than just to myself. So if I let people get into that space, and that's me letting people, notice that language. If I let people get into that space, that's on me. That's my fault. And I'll be taken away from the happiness and the betterment of my life. So it's my control, my choice to set boundaries. Okay? So that's one example. Another thing that I do that kind of keeps me motivated is I have layers of goals. So I have daily goals. I have monthly goals, yearly goals, and like general, like within the next 2 to 5 year goals. So I have goals every single day that deal with personal character development. It's either things I want to do every day or things I don't want to do every day. And I literally have a chart on my phone that I check for each of the individual goals. I don't have a general checklist. Every single goal has its own check chart. And I create a check or an X if I get that day right. So I have personal character development goals. I have business development goals. And I have some other odds and ends there. But that's what I do is every single day I ask myself, am I doing what I need to do for my character development? Every day. It's yes or no. Am I doing what I need to do to grow this business? Every day. Yes or no. And I can physically see it. So I can go back through those charts and see, okay, in the month of March, I had 7 X's. That's bullshit. I don't want any X's. Let me see if in the month of April, I was able to get it down to 6. Maybe in May, I can get it down to 5. But I can physically see how I did. Not what I believe I did or what I'd love to believe I did or, oh, I think I did this. Bullshit. I know for a fact exactly what I did. And that holds me accountable. So I have daily goals. I have monthly goals. So, like, for example, I have volume goals that I try to improve upon for my squat and my deadlift every single month. So I try to squat at least, like, a one rep max-ish really heavy at least once a month and do the same with deadlifts at least once a month. And then my workouts around those heavy ones, I track the volume of things and try to increase my bodybuilding style work because I know that that influences my one rep maxes. So I'm tracking all that stuff every single month to make sure I'm moving forward every month. So I don't just believe, oh, I'm going to the gym, I'm probably doing good. No, bullshit. You're just going to lie to yourself. The lazy version of you is going to win. So be serious, set real goals, track them in real honesty. And then have yearly goals. So last year in October, I tore a couple muscles in my legs at a meet and wasn't able to finish the meet. So my goal has been in 1 year, my goal was to heal those tissues, relearn how to squat, because I actually detached one of my hamstrings, so I have to kind of like relearn what it feels like to squat correctly, and then go back and hit the same numbers that I should have been able to hit last year. So I want to see if in 1 year I can fix the 3 muscle tears and the detachment and come back just as strong. Then I have longer term goals that are related to other things too. So that's the one of the ideas that keeps me motivated is I don't take days off. Every single day, there's an accountability to it, what I do. Every day I should work out. Every day I should have 4 to 5 to 6 meals, right? So every single meal is an opportunity to move forward or fall behind. So there's no relaxation. There's no slack. I know if I'm doing things right or wrong all day, every day, and I don't bullshit myself. There's no excuses. So one of the things I love about a check chart, okay, whether I got something done or not, there's no room to write down why you didn't do it. Okay? It's either a check or an X. No one gives a shit why it's an X. There's nowhere to put the explanation for why it's an X. No one gives a shit. It didn't get done. You don't get the results of it. It doesn't matter why it didn't get done. So if I didn't work out that day, who gives a shit why? My body will not have gotten stronger. It will not have gotten the muscle damage to eventually grow to get bigger muscles. I will not have burned the calories that I needed to. So it doesn't matter why I didn't work out. I won't get the benefits of a workout regardless of the reason. So that's why I love check charts, because there's no room to even write down the reason, because it doesn't even freaking matter. Excuses don't mean shit. You either did it or you didn't do it. That's it. The more you live your life that way and adjust to that, you're going to be more and more successful. Okay? So that's going to be pretty much, I don't know what this has turned out to be, a rant or me just being a grumpy dude. But that's what I do to stay motivated, is I don't even think of it as motivation. It's just something I do every day because I hated that version of me that I didn't do it when I didn't do that stuff. I have goals every damn day, all day, that keep me on track. So aim small, miss small, right? So if I aim for multiple right things every day, I will never lose a week because I'll know that same day whether I'm falling behind. So aim small, miss small. So you have to have daily goals, monthly goals, yearly goals, long-term goals. I also have attached as many meaning to my goals as possible. So I do stuff not only for myself, I do it for my parents. So my parents have invested their life into me. So they've invested part of their life into me. So what I do or don't do is a reflection of my appreciation of what they've done for me. So if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, it's like throwing away their help and saying, screw you, parents, I don't even respect you enough to use what you've done to help me. Well, I would feel like shit. I wouldn't want to do that to them. So I do it for me. I do it for my parents. I also make sure that I run this gym as good as I can for the friends and the members that are in here. So if I get slack and don't do what I'm supposed to do, this gym won't exist. These people will have to go lift at some other bullshit, horrible commercial gym. And I will have done them a disservice in their health and fitness journeys. And then also I do it for God. So God put me on earth to help people. So if I live the best version of myself, I will best be able to help people. So I will best live out my purpose in life. So that's my best thank you I can give to God for the life he's given to me. So I attach as many meanings as I can to every action. So whether I work out today, that has an impact on me, has an impact on my parents, has an impact on the gym, has an impact on the members, has an impact on God. So now, you tell me if you're going to get that workout in or not. If you're letting all of those people down, including yourself, when you don't get that workout in. So the more meanings you can attach to things, the more motivation, quote unquote, you have to do them. So it's actually, you're just going to feel more remorse if you don't do it. That's the goal. You're setting yourself up to where it's easier to just do the damn thing than it is to deal with the negative emotional feelings of not doing it. So that's what I do. So I have goals, daily, monthly, yearly, long-term goals. I attach as many meanings to everything I do as I can. And then I hold myself accountable to the standard that I want to live. So I defined my standard, and it was to create a life that if somebody saw the way I lived, if they saw the way I talked to people, they saw the way I kind of handled my free time, if I was productive and useful. Now, there are times where sitting and watching a funny YouTube video is productive because you have to take care of emotional health. So there are times when doing nothing, quote unquote, is productive and necessary. You just have to structure it and make sure it's the right volume of nothing compared to how much work you're doing. So I set standards that if somebody were to look at my life, I wouldn't have to hide much. So my goal is to hide nothing. So it's just, do I live a life that I'd be proud of others to see? And I'm fortunate right now to where I do, I live with my parents. It's just easier on rent and for other purposes. So they see what I do every day. They see when I leave for work. They see when I get home from work. They see what I do if I'm ever home on the weekends. They see if I'm, lounging around the house doing nothing, or if I'm on my computer answering questions or emails, or if I'm out and about going for a walk for mental health. So if people were to see my life, am I living my life in a way that I'd be proud of? Am I living in my life in a way that I'd be okay with letting other people see the way I live? So that's kind of one of the standards, and it's mostly like myself and God. I don't really care what most people think, but I do care what God thinks. I do care what my parents think. I have a couple close friends who I care what they think, and they have absolute 100% permission to tell me if I'm doing things correctly or not in my life. And so that's kind of it. I keep an inner circle, and I make sure that the inner circle gives me good feedback and that it's between me and God. If I'm happy and God's happy, then I'm doing okay. So I set my own standard, and I try to live by that standard. And I hold myself accountable to that standard by having multiple layers of goals and have multiple layers of meanings behind everything I do. Cool. Okay? I have no clue if this answered the question the way that the person wanted, but hopefully it was helpful. This might have turned into more of a therapy session for me than anything else. But the big thing I can say to people is create a standard of a life that you want. Decide what your daily actions would be to enforce that standard. Track your efforts towards those daily actions. Hold yourself accountable to the mistakes that you make. See if you can find a pattern to why you're making those mistakes. Learn as much as you can as needed to correct those patterns. Okay, so correct the bad patterns, reinforce the good patterns, and do that every damn day. So every day of your life is an active participation experiment. How can I do better? How can I do at least as good as yesterday? And if I feel like I'm doing worse, what's going wrong? How can I correct it? How can I control it? Okay? So that's what life is. It's an active participation experiment. It's a project. You are a project. Your life is a project. You need to pay attention to it every damn day with full attention. Okay? So if you treat your life like that, it's going to go a lot better. It can be overwhelming at first, so just take it in stages that you can control and improve upon. Okay? So, but you have to define your standard. You have to define what's within your control in life and start holding yourself accountable to it and working on it. Okay? So, if you would like to do any of this and you have any questions on how to do this stuff, my goal with these podcasts is to help the listeners. I want you to live the healthiest, happiest life you can have. So if you're struggling with anything that's in this podcast and you would like help with it, reach out to us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll help you set up some standards. I'll help you figure out how to create some actions towards what you want to correct. Okay? I will not be nice. I will just be factual. So I'm not going to hold your hand and make up bullshit, whiny stuff that's going to help you feel better. So if you say you have a goal, I'll tell you what it will take to reach your goal. And then I'll give you the check charts that you can use, and then you can just go and start holding yourself accountable and go. But if you don't know what the actions are that are needed for you to take, that's what I want you to email us for. I'll tell you what's going to get you there, okay? Then it's up to you to do it. Cool. Okay. So hopefully this was helpful in some way. I have no clue. So I kind of lost whether or not this one was a good one. But hopefully it was a good one. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you guys have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, or any topics you'd love to hear about, please reach out to us. So that's the podcast is for you. So the more that I know what you want to learn about, the more this can be even, you know, more focused towards your guys' needs. Okay? Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.